Oh, we're live.
We are live.
Oh, dude, it's on. I didn't even see the countdown.
We're going. We're in. We're locked in.
Why am I stretching? I don't need to stretch for this.
I stretch.
We're just gonna sit. Yeah. Oh,
I do the same. I stretch mentally and physically for this. I get all worked up.
Can I? Do you mind if I just sit back and watch you stretch mentally? I'd like to just see what that looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I was doing that before we came on. It looks a bit like this. Just nothingness.
Whoa,
just nothingness.
But that was a look, bro. I've always wondered, like, could you do movies, TV? Because, you know, you're a handsome UK bloke. And now I know, yes, you could absolutely be. You could be a star. Wow, that was it.
If the role was someone who didn't talk, I think I'll be all right.
I think dude, every time I've ever spent time with you, I always tell Amber, like, when you go back to your room and everything and we're just chilling, she's like, how was the day? And I'm like, honestly, Eddie would probably be one of the best extras ever in Hollywood. I don't know anyone that could stand in the background of some serious action better than Eddie Thrower.
Yeah.
He is the man.
It's good to know, mate. When times are rough, when no one's booking in for lessons, when busted, yep, call it a day again, you know, at least I know, well, you know what, extras, I'm coming for you, mate. Watch out. Do you know what I mean?
Dude, you got that. Honestly, man, they would say, look, you can't, you're taking all the attention away from our lead actor. You gotta go. And it's like, and you understand. It's just how it is. What's up, dude? Good to see you, man.
I feel like we have both been through some crazy stuff. I mean, the title of this episode is pretty full on, mate. It's pretty crazy, mate. How are you feeling right now?
Horrible. Freaking terrible. And you know what? I feel like it's going to get better because I can hear the landscaping guy coming down the stairs with his gas-powered windblower.
Yeah, he loves that.
He does. He's like, are you, Mike, are you podcasting? You are. All right, let me fire up the rig.
Yep. For one leaf. Yeah.
But yeah, I've got a bit of a cold. I sent you a voice message saying we need to do this podcast in the next 45 minutes because that's about how much longer I've got until the whole body just collapses on me. So that's the only reason I'm feeling bad. I've got a bit of a cold, but that's par for the course, whether it's drum festivals or anything where you and I are pretty good at being isolated. Like,
yeah,
you know, COVID times, it's like, well, that's how I live. Like, I don't see people ever. Mm-hmm. And then we go from that to just a big room of people that are giving you hugs and handshakes and everything. And yeah, you're just bound to get a cold. So I've got the beginnings of a cold. Other than that, doing great, man. I gotta say, we'll talk about everything that's happened in the past, but right now it's just nice to have the blue kit back on the stage.
Yeah,
I missed it.
You've been smashing that white kit for a while now, mate.
I've been going through double ply heads like butter.
That is amazing, mate. So it's been a crazy time that I wouldn't have predicted a year ago from now, really. You playing in,
yeah,
Simon Says, and then me doing like an MD thing with a band. It's kind of crazy.
It's really kind of cool. And I think that what you did, we'll get into the details, but what you did, it was so neat just to go through that process with you about like, what's it like? Because you've had MDs for so long, but then to be one, it's like, okay, like, are you ready for this? How do you know if you're ready for your first real legitimate, you're not MDing like a local band. This is a band that's going to play freaking Wembley.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, try not to screw that up. So other than that, let's get a quick update on the practice project. How's your practice going? I know you've been working on your crossover lick and your singles.
Yeah, amazing, mate. Amazing. And like, I never thought I would say that about my own practice, but mate, flipping amazing, mate. It's crazy. Like, we said it in a voice note a couple of days ago, or whenever it was. We voice note far too much. Not enough, really. I love it. I want more of it. But yeah, it's going amazing, man. Like, honestly, like, I haven't seen this much progress on the kit in probably years, I would say. Genuinely, like, it's been a good amount of years since I've thought about getting better at something, started, stuck at it, and I'm getting better. It's been years since I've done that,
yeah,
mate. And it wouldn't be possible without the practice project. Honestly, it just wouldn't be.
Yeah, that accountability is everything. You and I talk about that a lot, but it is weird at this stage in our careers, and I hope some of our students are going through it too, or some of our patrons are going through it too, but in the beginning, everything is so shiny and new, and you just want all of it. And every time you hear a drum fill, you're like, I'll do that. That sounds amazing. And then you can't, and then you try to get it. Well, what happens when most of the things you hear you can do? Mm-hmm. What do you practice? And it's like, I don't know. Timing error. So, you know, it's just all of a sudden the practicing becomes really boring and it's not as shiny. The dude is fired up on his leaf blower. He's literally standing outside my door waving at me. Tom?
That is great. He thinks he's doing you a favor right now. Bless him. Do you know what I mean?
He is. I mean, he's keeping it clean. I appreciate it. Just not like while podcasting. And I can't close my door. So, you know, we had hardwood. We're going to get back to the practice project. But, oh, wow. He's doubling down. He's doubling down. He's like, you know, Mike's little area needs to be even cleaner than this. I'm going to do it two times. So, you know, we had our new hardwood floors installed the other week. And then we also had, because like this room here, I don't want hardwood because I know I'm going to be recording audio podcasts. So I want carpet. I want a rug. I want it to soak up the sound. Well, there has to be a transition piece to go from the floor to the carpet. And that transition piece is raised up a little bit. Well, now my doors don't shut.
Oh,
because yeah. So, and it's like, and these transition pieces are matte black. So if I try to shut the door, I'll scratch the matte black.
Oh.
So my contractor is supposed to come by and shave off the bottom of the doors, like cut them a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's already been paid. He's never coming back. Yeah, he's like, no, I got you, bro. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you don't. Not at all. You don't have me. You never did have me.
Not at all, mate. Look, people think locking down musicians and like trying to get a musician to sort out his or her diary or be on time is difficult. I tell you what, mate, you work with a builder, especially here in the UK. It is game over, mate. Game over.
No shot.
Mate, builders are the new rock stars. I tell you that. They've got...
Totally.
They've got...
They're so in demand.
Jobs for days. They can pick and choose. Yep. They don't care. It's...
They don't do their own work. They just show up with sunglasses on and they're like, well, it looks like Vitaly's got this covered. And I'm like, does he? Because he's not here. So maybe you could stay. Maybe you could stay and do the thing.
Yeah.
No, I do love my contractor. I get along with him really well. He's rad. But I... Like when we, cause so Amber, good luck getting paid from her.
Oh yeah.
So I said, hey, we need to pay our contractor, you know? And she's like, no, we're not paying him until it's done. And I'm like, well, okay, but we got to pay him like at least half. And she's like, we're not paying him anything until it's done. And I was like, okay, I'm going to pass that on to you. I have to see this man who lifts heavy things all day.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'm not telling him that. So she was like, all right, I'll Venmo him half. And when it's done and everything's done, then I'll pay him the rest. So he's like, Mike, I need you to, and I'm like, dog, just talk to the wife, please. I do not want to be a part of this. I'm so uncomfortable right now.
I hate that.
You know, if it was up to me, I would give you my car keys. I would pay you double. You know that I would ruin my own finances to avoid this uncomfortable moment.
Yeah.
And so anyways, long story short, everything was good. I was like, okay, he crushed it. Amp, go ahead. She Venmos him everything. Everything's done. And then I was like, I go to shut the door and it goes kink and just hits the bear. And I'm like, we never tried to shut the doors.
Yeah.
So then I reached out. I haven't heard back from him since.
Classic.
So Amber, you are right.
Yes.
As always, you are right.
Yeah, exactly, mate.
Oh,
exactly.
Good times. Okay. So anyways, go ahead.
The floor looks amazing, mate. I was just going to chime in there and say, the floor does look amazing, mate. It does look, it looks way bigger, way bigger.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, no, I'm really stoked on it. But you know, one thing that I was thinking that would really help me with the edit of this podcast? 1, 2, 3, 4.
I was going to say a leaf blower, but yeah, no, we've got that covered.
I need the clap. We have there's a bit of a delay between, you know, the ocean that's in between us. So, welcome into Drum with Mike and Eddie, everybody. Hope you guys are having an amazing day. Yes, practice project has been keeping me accountable. I'm working on some, I never really know what to call it because it's basically jazz, but it's straightened jazz. So instead of ding, ding, da, ding, I'm playing ding, da, ding, da, ding, da, ding. But I'm not keeping it. So on an independence level, you would want to keep that consistent. I don't want it to be consistent. I want it to be free. Danger, danger, back at the game, but the game, but the game, but the gang going flag at the back at the game, but the game, but the gang. So I'm working on getting that flow. But to get that flow, I have to kind of work on it being consistent and work on the vocabulary underneath it. So right hand might be going ding, chicka ding, chicka ding, chicka ding, while left hand is doing threes and the right foot's doing twos, so groups of five. Da 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 boom boom da 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 boom boom da 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 boom boom. And it's not that I want to do those fives against that. I'm trying to break down everything that would stop me so that when I speak, whatever comes out, comes out. But what's tough, and I think this is what we've been trying to explain in the practice project with our videos, is I have no desire to be playing real music and go, here come the fives. That's like the end of art. It's over.
Yeah.
So it's a weird thing to tell people, like, here's this thing I'm doing, but I'm doing it so that I'll never really do it. I just want the freedom that if it happened, that it wouldn't screw me up.
Mate, exactly. I'm doing the exact same thing with the little crossover thing. I might try and add it in to some silly big rock and roll ending, but I'm doing it right. So like, if I'm improvising in a linear way, I can just a bit of thinking time, the glue to stitch other things together. And also I've never been able to do it. Do you know what I mean? And the practice project is like a great way of saying to someone, well, saying to a group of people, this is what I'm practicing. And like you said last episode, I need to show that I'm actually getting better at it. I can't just keep practicing it and not get better.
Totally. The proof is in the pudding, right?
Mate, exactly. And they're like, the videos me and you put up, they're like little lessons, mate. You know, like we practice basically. And then we talk about why we're doing things, why we're not doing things. And then our thought process. But I loved your last video, mate, with you playing the song. Or the one before that.
Oh.
Yeah. I thought that was wicked.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I'm excited. That's something that I've wanted since I left the rock world and became a clinician, is I've never been able to play what I want to do, which is I want to play drum clinic-y stuff, but that leans rock. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's I can't get away. I'm starting to learn now. I don't ever want to go back to what it was 20 years ago where all I did was listen to, you know, heavy music and stuff. Cause that's honestly not who I am either. Right. I've always listened to more Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins than I ever have Slipknot.
Yeah.
But I also can't deny, like, in my DNA is Deftones, Far, Slipknot. Like I grew up with that stuff.
Yeah. It's a part of your character, isn't it?
It's 100%. And the thing is, like, even when I've tried to play fusion-y stuff, when I look back at those drum clinics, I'm hitting pretty hard. You know, like there's this weckly beep, boop, boop, doop, boop track going on. And I'm like, skadoosh, skadabing. Yeah. I'm like, it seems like I'm swinging a little bit hard here.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's just who I am. So I'm kind of sick of denying that. But at the same time, I'm not meat and potatoes, AC/DC, just rock beats. So it's like, can I combine both of those? So long story short, guys, if you're not part of the practice project and you haven't seen the video, I had the guitarist from Simon Says write me a clinic track, and it's heaven. I get to play these like really dense show off grooves, but then there's like a do-do-ga-do-do, like rock section. And it's fun, man. It feels like me for the first time.
Yeah, it does, mate. You've got that verse where you've got like the MJ classic sauce on the hi-hat with the left foot and all the kind of like underhand stuff. But then, yeah, you got a big chorus where you can show that you can actually, you know, hit the drums like someone who knows how to record and play in front of thousands of people. Do you know what I mean? Which is such a skill set. And like, you know, it kind of goes back to the chop world sometimes whereby, you know, a lot of drum teachers or drummers think it's like a thing that should be looked down upon. Like, oh, you shouldn't practice chops. It's the same in the rock world. Sometimes I feel like rock drummers are like, oh, cute. You know, like, oh, yeah, well.
But you got to just lay it down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like, actually, it's really hard to like be a really good, consistent rock drummer. So, yeah, I love it, man.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. It's a bit of both. Thanks, man. And what was great is like, I'm coming from our world of drum clinics and professional musicianship. My band, you know, that's not the world they live in. So when I sent my guitarist money, he was like, bro, what's this for? And I was like, well, you're writing me a song. I pay for tracks.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do this for free. And he was like, are you kidding me? This is mine to keep. And I was like, yes, this is yours to keep. It's all,
that you can have. Sick, yes. Right?
And he was like, we should do more of these. And I'm like, yeah, I bet we should.
Yeah, right.
And we are going to. I'm really excited because I was just, when I started, I mean, that practice project thing that I put up, that was literally my first time. So I sent him the groove. He wrote the whole song around the groove. But that was my first time being like, okay, I've made a 4-minute version of this now. Basically what he did was he made me a 2-minute version of like, well, these are the parts. And then he sent me the whole Pro Tools session with all the parts kind of marked out. And he's like, now just arrange these how you want them to fit what you're doing. And then I'll redo the whole song with your arrangement.
Oh, that's cool. That's a good way of doing it. Starting with the beat as well.
Yeah, because
like
he knew that I needed a 4-minute song, but I'm like, dude, I don't need you to write a 4-minute through composed thing. I just need, like, at some point there has to be a drum solo. At some point there has to be this. This is how long I need the verses to be. So anyways, that was my first time taking a spin on it. And I mean, for those of you that are part of the practice project, you can see I'm coming up to like the second chorus and that dense groove just stops on me. Like I couldn't do it anymore. Yeah. So it's like, well, cool. This is the reality of practice. I cannot play this song, but by the UK drum show, I better be able to play this song. And the only way that's going to happen, you know, I've tried, prayer won't work. You're going to have to practice.
You're going to have to practice, mate. So yeah, man. I mean, if you're listening and you're a part of it, please check it out, mate, because it's become a member. You'll support the podcast and then you'll get some good practice in. And yeah, you get to watch mini little lessons and a peek behind the curtain from me and Mikey, you know? So
come on.
Check it out.
Well, let's get into the real curtain. I would assume the curtain at Wembley is very big. Okay, so take us back in time. We'll start with your stuff. Charlie from Busted has another band called Fight Star. That's a band, I'm assuming, right? Kind of like LTA. Like, there are not interchangeable members.
Yeah,
it's a band.
They're a band. They're a unit. Yeah. Exactly.
So there's no like, oh, should we have Eddie play for us? Should we get Josh Freeze? It's like they have a drummer.
They have a drummer called Omar. He's wicked. Yeah, so it's a proper band vibe, which made this whole experience kind of a little bit more daunting, really, because I was going in. The thing was, it was like most things with Charlie and Busted, it's kind of like, it's me and Charlie are really close now and it kind of just, these things happen and there's no like, it's not like they're employing someone in the music scene they don't know and it's an official contract of, do you want to musical direct this show? Let's shake on it, here's a fee. It's more like, can you build the tracks for us like you did with Busted and like, you know, come and get involved. And I'm like, yeah, cool. That could mean either I make the tracks and I turn up to rehearsal and they've got everything covered. And I'm like, well, this is wicked. I don't have to do anything. Great idea there. Or I make the tracks and I turn up and it's just play song, stop. And I might have a few ideas or they might have a few ideas. It might be a collaborative thing or whatever. So that was the kind of situation leading into it. But yeah, Charlie asked me to come and build the backing tracks on the same playback system Busted used. And I built the same tracks essentially. So using the same click, the same cues and doing what I did on Busted, whereby I'm taking, you know, like drums, vocals, effects, percussion, all of these different things and layering them how I did in Busted and piecing it together in the same way. So yeah, I did that. And then
While you're doing this, like, is there a moment where you go from realizing I'm here to help out my buddy Charlie and he'll probably kick me some cash to, I think I'm now the musical director. You're going to have to pay me for this. This is now a job.
Yeah, it does get pretty full on, to be honest. And what was full on about this experience was they didn't have much time. So I turned up, I made the tracks before rehearsals and then we turned up and they were just practicing in their kind of
and when old, you say tracks, what does this mean? Is this like background percussion? Is it keys? Is it synth? What is it?
Yeah, it's everything. So you've got a click and cue, so a metronome, and then a lot of their songs have like choruses in six and the verses are in you know, eight. So then like I'm changing the accent and whatever. I make the clicks through MIDI just so it's easy to change. And then I have cues. So it's basically a female robotic voice that says chorus 2, 3, 4. Just signaling the band where they are.
Okay. If you can make that for Simon Says for our LA show, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, mate, fly over, boy. Fly over. because I think in metal specifically, it's really helpful because you eliminate any count-ins. So like, for example, there's a section in a Fight Star song where it's like a mid-8 and there's a lot of ambient effects going on. And then out of the blue, there's like a dun 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 dun, and then it stops.
Yeah.
And then like an odd amount of bars later, dun 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 dun. So I think when you eliminate like count-ins or even hi-hats, it just sounds more powerful. It just kind of comes out of nowhere. So cues are great for stuff like that. And also when you don't have time. And then, yes, yeah, it's you know, guitars, it's effects, it's like synths, keys, a few harmonies maybe, drums and percussion. And that can be anything from like a tambourine loop or whatever. There wasn't many drums on this though, to be fair. Or it can be like a little 808 kick or whatever it may be. So basically building the tracks from start to finish. Yeah, it can be... It's a really cool process, mate. Because like you can listen to a song and then go, that mid-section where you really kick in, you drop to the heavy riff, let's put some 808s in there to match the kick or match the bass line or whatever it may be. And you just get your little MIDI keyboard out and do it there and then. And yeah, it's fun, man.
Wow.
It's honestly my...
And that must be...
Sorry, mate. Go
Sorry,
on.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I will. There we go. All right, fantastic. Now we know we're back full form. But I just have so many questions because this world is so foreign to me. Like I'll explain what I did for the Simon Says show, and holy step back in time. No tech involved because I was too scared to involve any real tech. But anyways, this also must be really cool for you to be doing it for someone else. Because then you have to really think about how it's affecting strangers. Well, maybe not strangers, but like, okay, how will this drummer interpret this? Compared to like, it's almost like writing notes. Like, I know what my notes mean, but if someone else read them, they'd be like, I don't know what any of this is. And I'm like, oh, that's right. You're not in my head.
Yeah.
So you have to be actually more thorough than normal, but that's going to make you so much better at doing it for the next Busted tour.
Yeah, exactly, man. And what made this really unique and interesting is that one, I didn't have much time with them because it was kind of like build the tracks, let them just practice and then come back into the rehearsal when they came to like the London rehearsals, which was pretty much like pre-pro, and just make sure everything was like lining up and all good with the playback system and whatnot. But yeah, I had a couple ideas, like an intro, an outro and like a mid-eight and stuff like that. And that was really interesting, being like, hi guys, I've never met before. I know this is your baby. You know, it's like, I think it was like 20 years anniversary for the show or whatever.
Wow.
You know, I don't know any of you. I know you're capable musicians and I know you wrote all this music yourself, but what about doing this? You know what I mean? It was like really like, who the hell is this guy? You know what I mean? It was that, right. It was that vibe. But yeah, there was one intro that sounded just amazing at Wembley that I literally came up with in the shower and then got out the shower, got my little MIDI keyboard out and then made it and then sent it to Charlie and thought, what do you think? And they were like, yeah, this is wicked. So
wow,
it's so funny how these little things.
Okay, so what was the pride like when you're watching this show that you've kind of put together and it's all being held together by the things you did in the background that you will never get any credit for, but you know that it's being held together by something you did, which is what all of your MDs have done for you in the past, which I'm sure gives you a totally different amount of respect for MDs in general. But how did it feel to be sitting side of the stage going like, yeah, that worked. That worked.
I mean, honestly, mate, like,
were you nervous?
I have never been so anxious and like so worried in my life regarding a show. It's like actually giving me a newfound respect for the techs and stuff, because when you're playing, you're in that flow state and you're naive to everything that could go wrong because you're just too busy. You're worrying about the drum fills and like putting on a show and like what's coming next maybe, or you're not worrying at all and you're just in a true and utter flow state, which is the best form to be in. But when you're standing looking at two laptops running a playback system that is going out to 10,000 people and you're hearing your clicks and the cues that you've made and the effects that you've made on your little MIDI keyboard and then you're hearing your ideas, you're like, come on, boy. One, you're like, come on, boys, nail it. Like, you got this. Yeah. Like, I'm hearing everything whilst you're playing. Like, come on, give it some. And then also, on the other hand, you're like, right, everything looking good here? Yeah, like, you know, recognizing
this is the right
phase.
Song. This is the right song.
This is all good, yeah. Okay, cool. Like, you're hearing that the drummer's cued the next song, but you're worried that the bass player, like, he's having a sip of water. So we might have to stop and restart. It's crazy, man. It's like being a football manager at the Super Bowl final. You're just there, just trying to, I don't know, just make sure it just works. But it's so bizarre. I've never felt anything like it. Yeah. It
was now, wicked. If there was a problem, who's in charge of playback? Would that be you at this point?
I mean, the drum tech was the playback tech as well.
Okay.
In the sort of UK, like the drum techs have their kind of, their chops up with most playback systems and whatnot, and they'll set it up. But yeah, I would feel like it was mine, and I would definitely step in and be like, right, I've got to fucking...
You'd hit the big red button.
Yeah.
Gant.
Mate, 100%.
All right, let's do that again.
100%. Whoa,
God,
so yeah,
that's so much pressure.
It is, man. It is. And yeah, so it was cool. And it was just, I've got a video that I'm going to put up on Instagram tonight of just another intro that I came up with when we were having dinner at the first sort of rehearsal with the family. And I was like, what is that song? That one of my favorite songs. And it starts with a riff. And it's like, doom, ba, like kick and toms when the song actually starts. And I was like, well, we need to loop that because that's a hey moment right there. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey. And then I just made it when they were finishing off their dinner and they came back and I was like, what do you think? And they're like, yeah, cool. So I love that stuff, man. That's my favorite part of being a musician. So hopefully...
That's so you watching Metallica live in Russia over and over again. Yes. And you just want that moment, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You're like, those moments make a show. Like whether the crowd feel it or not, it's kind of what you say about content. Like whether that people notice it is irrelevant because they'll feel it.
They'll feel it.
Exactly.
They don't need to know, they just need to feel it.
Exactly, man. So yeah, that was kind of crazy, mate. But I mean, I think you went through a more crazy time, to be honest with you, because you went through something that was way more emotionally charged, physically charged, and it looks amazing. So talk through what you just did a couple of nights
ago. I gotta say though, like it is pretty cool that like this has happened to us multiple times where you and I have both done really unique monumental things at the exact same time, because you and I always seem to be like have downtime at the same time and then we get way too busy at the same time. And then our voice notes are like, hey man, sorry, I didn't get back to you yesterday. Like, dude, crazy. And you're like, no, I know, I'm crazy too. And it's like, we always have this like synergy between our productivity and our opportunities. And I just think it's really cool. Because like you said, a year ago, or even when you were here at camp, if I would have said like, I think me and the old Cez boys are going to do a show. And you're like, really? That's cool. I'm an MD fight star. I'd be like, what? What are you talking about? Yeah. Like, I don't know what's happening right now.
I bet the show was on the same night, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That is
it's like, dude, we're talking about loading. It was unreal, man.
That's crazy.
Unreal.
Talk through what you went through.
It was wild because like 2 years ago, I think our singer tried to pull us together just for a night of rehearsal. This is maybe even 3 years ago. It was like right when we were coming out of lockdown. I remember we were all wearing masks and we went to a practice space in downtown Sac, and you know, we played and it was kind of like, it was our first time seeing each other in 20 years, like physically seeing each other, even talking. And it was cool, but it was like, cool, there's nothing here. This is over. Like I feel nothing. I don't need to do this. Then 2 years later, our singer lost somebody really close to him that was his same age and our age. And it just kind of, I think, brought things into perspective of how short life is. And he reached out to all of us individually and said, could we just start seeing each other regularly? Could we just go to dinners once a week? We all live in the same town. I mean, for the most part. And it was like, yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden there was really what happened was the scene happened. There was a new metal resurgence. And then Hollywood Records decided to finally release our two albums on Spotify and Apple Music and release them digitally. They'd never been available before, even though they were major label albums. We got caught in that in-between phase of like physical product and then iTunes launching. And we just got caught in the middle. So it just never came out. Like basically the band got dropped right before the third album. And then like a week later, the whole world went digital. And it was like, we just got shelved. Mm. So anyway, so it kind of coincided with that. Then all of a sudden, nu metal was blowing up and, you know, Korn and Limp Bizkit are back out on tour and Chevelle's doing shows. And it was like, oh boy, don't, let's not do this. I don't want to be a part of this. I have my career. I'm very happy. I quit my band so I could have the career I have. And then, yeah, it was just like, what do you think about doing a show? And I was like, okay, as long as you guys know I have the career that I want, I've always dreamed of doing what I'm doing right now, and I don't ever look back. I don't wish I was doing that stuff again. So if you guys are okay with that, then yeah, I'm all about it. So anyways, long story short, we started practicing. It was good, and then it was better. And then all of a sudden the awkwardness is gone and the jokes are starting to happen again. And then I'm looking forward to rehearsals because it's my time with the boys. And yeah, and then all of a sudden, I would say 2 weeks ago was the first time that I was like, I think we actually sound better for the first time now than we did then. Meaning that our guitarist was singing backgrounds that he probably should have been singing the whole time because he can sing. But it was like, no, we've got a lead singer. Don't step on his toes. Mm-hmm. But it was like, well, it sounds better when you do sing. And he's taking over the screams so that our singer can save his voice for the night. And all of a sudden, like the drumming maturity that I have, instead of doing like cool drumming stuff that I can do now that I couldn't do then, it's the complete opposite. It's like, why was I doing all that stuff in that verse? Like, let me just get out of the way. And honestly, man, I gotta say big thanks to you. You were in my head for the entire rehearsal process and the show. Every time I would hear a monster chop, and just a heads up to those of you that have ADD like me and Eddie, I heard a monster chop in my head every 3 seconds. Every 3 seconds, I heard all I heard was your voice just going, "Singles, mate." And I literally was going, da 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 boom, ska, da da doom, ka. Even though I heard ska, ska, ska,
ska. Yeah.
I just did singles and singles and singles, and it worked every time. And I never had to be nervous if I was going to pull off the fill. And everyone was, you know, I mean, dude, we had mosh pits. So anyways, we'll get into it. So then we get our first show. We go to, it's at this place called Goldfield that none of us had ever played at. Gorgeous club. It was such a nice place. I know you saw some of the pictures and videos, but it was just really, really nice. Massive LCD screen behind us, which for a local club, it's like, dude, that's great.
Yeah, it was amazing. It's impressive.
It's a really nice club. Like, because I got there early and I was like, oh, man, like Amber's never seen me do this. Like, this part of my life ended. She doesn't know what stinky clubs are like and bars and this whole load in and sound check. And as soon as I got there at 4 p.m. for sound check, I text her. I was like, babe, you'll be totally safe no matter where you sit. It's got a gorgeous balcony area where you can stay out of the mosh pit and stuff. It's really nice in here. So anyways, props to Goldfield. It was a great club. So we did sound check. That was cool, but it was really weird because all the bands that were on the bill, they were kids last time we played, and they were like front and center to watch the sound check, you know? And
yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh God, my hands are cold. My hands are awfully cold. So it was intense. And then basically get ready. We're downstairs in the little green room area, and our tech, who used to be our tech back in the day, and now he works with like Everclear and Lit and that kind of world. He comes downstairs like probably an hour before we play, and he's like, boys, it's sold out. And we were like, what? Because we weren't even checking ticket sales or anything. And he's like, yeah, they just closed the doors. It's all sold out. And it was like, oh man, that's really cool for no reason other than I've been really fortunate in my life. I kind of just wanted my boys to have a win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
On a soul level.
Yeah.
Like, I know this sounds completely egotistical, but I do not need this other than the friendship. I desperately needed the friendship, and I needed to mend those fences that I was responsible for tearing down. But as far as it selling out, there being four people there, it couldn't affect me one way or another. But to see their faces when they found out that they sold out a show 20 years after our last show.
Yeah.
It was just awesome, man. So everything was good. Went out on stage and so as far as tech, I just got too scared to do it the pro way. So I went in ears straight into my iPad. No monitors. I heard nothing.
Right. The whole night, yeah.
Except for a click.
Yeah. Nice.
Just a click. Go, go, go.
And then you counted them in, yeah?
Counted them in every single break, left foot on 2 and 4.
Yeah.
Because no one else had ears. No one had click.
Oh, interesting. It was just you.
Just me and a
that's actually quite
hardwired.
That's actually quite risky, that one. Because they can just go away with it, you know? And you're like,
oh, if I had footage, I would show you how many times I left middle fingered the click off And then I got us back on, like, because I could hear them kind of separate. There was a lot of, you know, not anxiety, but like a lot of nervous excitement. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there was some kind of like, oh, you can ease up on the throttle there, bro. And they were just going. And
I love that.
I was stomping on my hi-hat so hard, I thought I was going to flip them inside out, because I was like, one, two, it's right here. It's right here. This is where we live.
So babe.
And it was...
what was it like 5 minutes before you went on? What were you feeling, or what were you thinking?
So we were basically now at that point, we're in a kitchen area. And the tech comes back, and our tech, like, he has never stopped touring since he was out with us. We took him on as a bro, just a friend, taught him how to tech. This was back in like the Stained, Kid Rock, Limp Bizkit tours. So he kind of cut his teeth on big ass arena tours, but he never stopped. Well, he has gotten so much more professional since he was just our buddy. So I mean, for any of you that have never had a true pro tech, it's so amazing, because they just tell you everything you think you don't need to know, but you do need to know. Mm-hmm. So he's like, all right, guys, I'm going to give you the flashlight to get Matt on. Matt's going to go on first. Mike, when you get up there, walk past your kit. Do not try to get into your kit the first time you see your kit. There's no room to get in. You'll knock over a cymbal. Walk past your kit and then come in through there. Come back around to it. That's the only space on stage. Like, he knows the whole stage layout.
Yeah.
Things that I would have just been like, oh, there's my drum set. Here I go. Oh, I'm blocked by the China and the guitar cabs. And I would have knocked half of the freaking set over.
Yeah. The awkward, know? Like, oh, hang on. Oh, sorry. Oh, excuse me. You know.
Totally. I'm like, oh my God. And then, you know, just the like, all right, Mike, you got a water bottle on your left. You got a water bottle on your right. Here's your sweat towel. I made sure they weren't white, so you don't get any little cotton bits on your face underneath black lights. I mean, just like pro to the pro, you know, degree.
Yeah.
So yeah. So anyways, we're all back in the kitchen, huddled up, taking some pictures, and like, and basically all that happened was like, I just told the boys, and we all kind of reiterated like, this is not for them. This is for us. We are going to jam with each other for 45 minutes or an hour, and they can watch. But do not get hung up in trying to make them rock or make them mosh. Like, this is just for us. They're just going to watch our friendship for an hour. And that's all we did. And yeah, man, I mean, there was a little, I'll send you a video, but our bass player went in pretty hard right off the bat, and his knee buckled.
Oh, no.
Oh yeah. And he went straight into his 810 Ampeg fridge.
Yeah.
And luckily, like, the Deftones rig that we have from Chi pushed him back up, and he was like, oh, and I was like, you good, dude? And he's like, maybe. And then like after the second song, my singer came over. He's like, I'm pretty sure I busted my Achilles. And I'm like, Are you serious? He's like, I don't know if I'm serious, but I think I might be serious. And I was like, okay, well, we are almost 50 now. But by like the third, fourth song, it was all good. People were singing all the songs. There was mosh pits, which I was like, dude, you guys are as old as we are. Stop it. You're going to hurt yourselves. No one needs to mosh. But it was great, man. Just, it was good. It was a fun night. And when it was over, you know, all I can say is I'm really happy it happened, but it was just great to see my boys again and to be on stage with them. So we have one more show on the 4th, April 4th at the Whiskey in LA. If any of you guys listening would like to come out, if you're in Southern California, I would love to see you out there. So we're playing the Whiskey on the 4th. And then from that moment on, my favorite drummer, who I've talked about a few times on this podcast, his name is Chris Robine. He was in a band called Far, and he was my hero growing up. He's going to do the touring because I'll be in drum camps and I just can't do it.
Yeah. Nice, man. Nice. Well, that's
cool. Yeah. And then after that, I think it just comes down to writing some new music. So it was fun.
So the question on everyone's lips.
Oh yeah.
I think most, probably mine more so. did you bang out the old GoPro and capture some footage?
Half yes and half no. I brought it out on a C stand. I had it like 10 feet above the kit.
Yep.
And second song in, I was like, oh man. So if anyone was at the show, I didn't press record. Because it would have been too high. I would have had to stand on my throne to do it, but I was just going to control it through my app. So second song, we had a little talking break so everyone could catch their breath. I was not texting, if you saw me. I was trying to engage the GoPro. And basically, the only thing I could get to work was like the what's it called? Where it takes like a picture every 15 seconds.
Oh, like, you know, the time lapse.
And I was like, dah! And then all of a sudden my guitarist was like, dah, 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 dah. And I was like, ah, through my phone. And I was like, all right. And it was everything that you and I've talked about in the past about, am I going to be a videographer today or am I going to enjoy this moment? Mm. And right now I choose to not care about footage.
Yeah.
I'll do my best to grab some footage at the LA show. But it was just like, man, I'm not missing this memory just because of some tech.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, man, that's the way. I mean, yeah, I think even if it's recording beforehand, I still sometimes I'm playing and then I'm like, oh yeah, is that thing recording? And then it shifts your mood and your physical being and totally. You get in your head and you start performing for things that don't matter in that moment. All that matters is you, the stage, the people on it and the people watching, you know, so.
That's a really good point. I think if that GoPro would have been on with my knowledge, I think I would have played differently because I'd be playing for social media.
Yeah, I'd 100%. Be
like, you know what I mean? And instead I was like, I just want to keep my eyes open. Oh, by the way, could have used a heads up from you on this. I haven't sweat in a long time. Hair product in the eyes is horrible.
Oh, mate, that's a killer.
Dude, I was in trouble.
That's a killer.
It's like getting pepper sprayed.
Because also it's a reunion show, so it probably looked like you were crying for most of it.
Yeah, totally. I was like, oh, why is this so burny? It's so burny. I didn't even think about it. But it was a blast, man. We had a great time. But it was tough because when the show was over, no one left. It was a 650 person reunion of people where we played their high schools when they were kids, or we, you know, maybe they went to all of our shows back in the day. I mean, we had people that brought postcards because we used to, our mailing list back in the day was physical. We mailed you something in your post.
That's so
that
cool.
Said, we have a show on Friday.
I love that.
And so they had it like, and it was like the early days. Well, actually it wasn't even Photoshop. It was like, you cut out pieces of things from magazines and then you photocopy the whole thing and that becomes the thing.
That's sick.
It was crazy, man. It was a lot of memorabilia, like people all with those, you know, button up slick jackets.
Yeah.
Like that everyone wore in that time. Dickies and your kind sick. Of like windbreaker. And I was like, oh my God, can I buy that from you? And they're like, no. I'm like, okay.
That is so sick, man. That is so cool.
Yeah. So it was fun. I'm really excited. I'm most excited to see where it can go. You know, once they're done with this tour, like, is there a chance that we could add to modern rock? I have no desire to like spend a lot of time in a place 20 years ago. It's just not who I am. I never look back. It's just not my personality. I'm not a big nostalgia fan. So it's like, could we make something new? Can we kind of change the game a little bit? Could we be a rock band that doesn't use a lot of samples on the drums?
Like, yeah.
Can we take us back to rock by moving forward? So anyways, long story short, I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, man.
So I have a question for you before we get out of here. Now is Fight Star doing a tour or was this a one and done?
No, that was just a one and done show. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was, and that's why it was so, you know, like that's why there was so much pressure. The boys hadn't played together for 8 years. So it was like,
wow.
it was a lot. And I don't think they, a lot of the songs they had never played to click to. And a lot of the stems that the tracks were built on were like rope, you know, ropey. They were like old recordings.
Yeah.
So it was,
sure.
Charlie had to sort of reamp some bits, I think, and whatnot. But yeah, man. So, wow. Moving forward, mate, I definitely want to start doing this for other bands and dip my toe into that world. I think it makes moments like that. I know it's the same for you. It makes you realize what you truly enjoy about music and more so the drums. And it was just interesting. I was like, I really enjoy this. Like it's something that's I want to cool, do man. More of. So yeah, man, we'll see. We'll see.
If
anyone's listening out there and you have a band, you want me to MD it, just slide in the old DMs, mate.
Yeah, man. I mean, you're kind of like the cat for hire right now. Like I could reach out to you and get a private drum lesson. I could reach out to you and have you MD the Simon Says set. Like you're an asset, man. I love it.
I'm an ass hat. What film
on.
Is that from? That's from a film. I don't know what
I
film.
I have no idea, but you are 100% a father now. If you're going dad jokes on
mate,
us.
It's got to be done. But yeah, man, I mean, honestly, mate, I think it just, being in a rock band, you know what it's like, mate. Yeah. You do everything yourself. I mean, we do everything ourselves now as drum tutors and, you know, whatever else you want to call us, content creators. So it just comes from that, really, man.
You know what, man? There's no way that you and I have the careers we have right now without Lower Than Atlantis and without Simon Says.
Exactly.
It trained us to just be able to handle the ups and downs, to just push, to never get too excited about the ups, too down about the downs. And like you said, just like, okay, well, I don't know how, I can't afford to have somebody make me a flyer. I guess I'll learn graphic design.
Yeah.
I can't afford to have somebody record my band. I guess I'll buy a microphone and an interface and figure this thing out. You know, it's just like, put your head down and do the work type mentality. And so much of that doesn't come from like my upbringing as a kid. It comes from my work ethic of being in a local band.
Oh, mate, and also
all
like,
the way to being in a signed band.
That stuff teaches you how to like how to enjoy things in life as an older person. Because I think when you're young and in a band that's doing well, you're in a unique bubble of amazingness. You're doing these things that people would die for, but you're young and naive and a bit of a moron. So you're just like, well, this is the norm, isn't it? And then when it ends, you're like, ah, that was pretty cool, wasn't it? So when you do,
yeah,
I mean, like you said, man, you played in front of like 600-700 people, which is a lot of people, mate. That is a lot of people. It makes you realize, well, that was really, really fun. Like, we can do more of this, I think, you know? So yeah, it makes me, being in a band makes me appreciate stuff now as I'm older, for sure.
100%. Yeah. And I think also too, we're really fortunate that we were in rock bands instead of, I'm glad that I was in a rock band in my 20s and not a session drummer, because as a session drummer, all I would have to do is drum. As a member of a band, I did pay attention to the merch deal, the publishing deal, our entertainment attorneys. I paid attention to our manager. I know what a management cut is. I know what points are. You know, if somebody says like, could you do this for 2 points on the album? I know what that means. Mm-hmm. Instead of like, no, I'd like $300. And they're like, well, it's Beyonce. So 2 points on the album could be a little bit more than $300. Yeah. It'd be about $300 a minute.
Exactly.
So it's like, I'm so happy that we also have that in our past, because now you know, as a private teacher, you're going to be teaching people that are just on the cusp of getting signed. And they're like, okay, well, we're going to get a manager. And you can stop them and go, whoa, what is there to manage that you can't do right now? Do you really need to give somebody 15 to 20% for something you could probably do on your own? Like, maybe put that money somewhere else. And like, I'm really happy that we have those experiences. And I was also talking to a friend earlier this morning about just like, you know, do you want to do this again? I don't know that I could fully commit myself to education without these experiences in the past to know what I don't want to do with my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's important. I think that like your enjoyment as an MD for Fightstar, as a session player for Busted, like that probably comes from being like, well, I know the drama that comes with being in the band, 1/4 a member of a band. It's a marriage, man.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
It really like, is. It really is, man. Whew. Yeah, it's crazy. Well, what a week we've had, mate. Flipping heck, honestly.
Yeah, we got nothing cool happening in the next week. Like, it's all downhill from here.
Yeah, I've got a week of just drinking this. I don't know if you can sort
of... What is that?
Yeah, I don't know. The reason why I want to explain this situation, because listeners, I'm holding up like a 2-liter bottle of something that looks like...
Let's just call it urine.
Yeah.
Let's just go with the urine.
I was trying to think of like a PC word for urine. It's pretty intense, but it's electrolytes, mate. Mango, spicy mango. Bit nuts, isn't it?
Whoa.
There's a little chili in there, mate. It's a bit...
Get out of town.
It's a bit crazy. Get out of town. So yeah.
That's great. Good for you.
Yeah. I don't know about that, mate. I've been holding in a wee for about this whole podcast because of that water situation.
Same. Yeah, I'm about 10 mint teas down right now, and I'm in a little bit of trouble. So let's wrap this thing up. Everyone, thank you guys for listening so much. Thank you for all the support. If you can, could you please, especially if you're not a patron and you just can't afford it right now, we fully understand. If you could give this podcast a 5-star rating and write a review, that helps other drummers find this podcast more than anything else you could do. We would so appreciate it. But most importantly, just thank you guys for listening. Eddie and I are going to just keep trying the best we can to inspire you and let you know that you're never alone in this crazy journey that we're all going on with this instrument. But for now, episode 159 is in the can.
Ooh, here we go. Boom, bait. Oh my, what?
Bombay.
Bang, bang. Boom, boom. There we go.
Oh, okay, so it was bang, bang and boom, boom together.
There we go.
Boom, bang.
Boom, bang. There we go. Oh, Leaf Blower's back.
It. Yeah, he is. Hard. He's coming.